Chapter 43. Convenience, he can easily go to the right about. There will be time to find some better place for him in the meanwhile. You had better determine to leave him here for the present. Apostrophe apostrophe, I am very much obliged to you, apostrophe said my aunt, and so is he, I see, but apostrophe, come. I know what you mean, apostrophe cried Mr. Wickfield. You shall not be oppressed by the receipt of favors, Miss Trotwood. You may pay for him, if you like. We won't be hard about terms, but you shall pay if you will. Apostrophe, on that understanding, apostrophe said my aunt, though it doesn't lessen the real obligation, I shall be very glad to leave him. Apostrophe, then come and see my little housekeeper, apostrophe said Mr. Wickfield. We accordingly went up a wonderful old staircase, with a balustrade so broad, that we might have gone up that, almost as easily, and into a shady old drawing room, lighted by some three or four of the quaint windows I had looked up at from the street, which had old oak seats in them, that seemed to have come of the same trees as the shining oak floor, and the great beams in the ceiling. It was a prettily furnished room, with a piano and some lively furniture in red and green, and some flowers. It seemed to be all old nooks and corners, and in every nook and corner there was some queer little table, or cupboard, or bookcase, or seat, or something or other, that made me think there was not such another good corner in the room, until I looked at the next one, and found it equal to it, if not better. On everything there was the same air of retirement and cleanliness, that marked the house outside. Mr. Wickfield tapped at a door in a corner of the paneled wall, and a girl of about my own age came quickly out and kissed him. On her face, I saw immediately the placid and sweet expression of the lady whose picture had looked at me downstairs. It seemed to my imagination, as if the portrait had grown womanly, and the original remained a child. Although her face was quite bright and happy, there was a tranquility about it, and about her a quiet, good, calm spirit that I never have forgotten, that I shall never forget. This was his little housekeeper, his daughter Agnes, Mr. Wickfield said. When I heard how he said it, and saw how he held her hand, I guessed what the one motive of his life was. She had a little basket trifle hanging at her side, with keys in it, and she looked as staid, and as discreet a housekeeper as the old house could have. She listened to her father as he told her about me, with a pleasant face, and when he had concluded, proposed to my aunt that we should go upstairs and see my room. We all went together, she before us. And a glorious old room it was, with more oak beams, and diamond panes, and the broad balustrade going all the way up to it. I cannot call to mind where, or when, in my childhood, I had seen a stained glass window in a church. Nor do I recollect its subject. But I know that, when I saw her turn round, in the grave light of the old staircase, and wait for us, above, I thought of that window, and I associated something of its tranquil brightness with Agnes Wickfield ever afterwards. My aunt was as happy as I was, in the arrangement made for me, and we went down to the drawing room again, well pleased and gratified. As she would not hear of staying to dinner, lest she should by any chance fail to arrive at home with the gray pony before dark, and as I apprehend Mr. Wickfield knew her too well, to argue any point with her, some lunch was provided for her there, and Agnes went back to her governess, and Mr. Wickfield to his office. So we were left, to take leave of one another without any restraint. She told me, that everything would be arranged for me by Mr. Wickfield, and that I should want for nothing, and gave me the kindest words and the best advice. Trot, apostrophe said my aunt in conclusion, be a credit to yourself, to me, and Mr. Dick, and heaven be with you. Apostrophe apostrophe, I was greatly overcome, and could only thank her, again and again, and send my love to Mr. Dick. Never, apostrophe said my aunt, be mean in anything, never be false, never be cruel. Avoid those three vices, Trot, and I can always be hopeful of you. apostrophe, I promised, as well as I could, that I would not abuse her kindness, or forget her admonition. The pony's at the door, apostrophe, said my aunt, and I am off. Stay here. Apostrophe, with these words she embraced me hastily, and went out of the room, shutting the door after her. At first I was startled by so abrupt a departure, and almost feared I had displeased her, but when I looked into the street, and saw how dejectedly she got into the chaise, and drove away without looking up, I understood her better, and did not do her that injustice. By 5 o'clock, which was Mr. Wickfield's dinner hour, I had mustered up my spirits again, and was ready for my knife and fork. The cloth was only laid for us two, but Agnes was waiting in the drawing room before dinner, went down with her father, and sat opposite to him at table. I doubted whether he could have dined without her. We did not stay there, after dinner, but came upstairs into the drawing room again. In one snug corner of which, Agnes set glasses for her father, and a decanter of port wine. I thought he would have missed its usual flavor, if it had been put there for him by any other hands. There he sat, taking his wine, and taking a good deal of it, for 2 hours, while Agnes played on the piano, worked, and talked to him and me. He was, for the most part, gay and cheerful with us. But sometimes his eyes rested on her, and he fell into a brooding state, and was silent. She always observed this quickly, I thought, and always roused him with a question or caress. Then he came out of his meditation, and drank more wine. Agnes made the tea, and presided over it, and the time passed away after it, as after dinner, until she went to bed, when her father took her in his arms and kissed her, and, she being gone, ordered candles in his office. Then I went to bed too. But in the course of the evening I had rambled down to the door, and a little way along the street, that I might have another peep at the old houses, and the grey cathedral, and might think of my coming through that old city on my journey, and of my passing the very house I lived in, without knowing it. As I came back, I saw Uriah Heep shutting up the office, and feeling friendly towards everybody, went in and spoke to him, and at parting, gave him my hand. But oh, what a clammy hand his was! As ghostly to the touch, as to the sight. I rubbed mine afterwards, to warm it, and to rub his off. It was such an uncomfortable hand, that, when I went to my room, it was still cold, and wet upon my memory. Leaning out of the window, and seeing one of the faces on the beam ends looking at me sideways, I fancied it was Uriah Heep got up there somehow, and shut him out in a hurry. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.